Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser. Back from the break. Hour number two, getting into some Tennessee Titans talk. DeAndre Hopkins has spoken up on the brand new social media. Have you been on this new social media called
I'm on Threads. I tried to let Robbie and Adam know this week while I was in the morning. I said, are you guys on here yet? And they're like, no, why? This is a waste of time. And I was like, well, it may not be in the long run. But yes, D-Hop was on Threads, and I actually didn't know initially that that was the case. I thought that ultimately, I thought it was on Twitter, to be honest with you, the original post. So when it came out.
I thought it was too.
Yeah.
But I thought it was too.
It's out. It doesn't really matter.
So here's what he said on Thread. Again, I am not on Thread, so I'm reading this from an article that quoted it.
A thread from Threads.
Yes. So it says, I will retire from football when I'm not a 1,000-yard receiver, Hopkins wrote. He said, I was on track for 1,400 yards last year, and I've only had one major injury in 11 years. Mm-hmm. I could be playing until 37 the way that I feel.
Man feels like Tom Brady.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, in receiver terms, I mean, 37 is like 45 for a quarterback. You know, if we're kind of, you know, comparing apples to apples, because, you know, obviously, you know, guys that are 37 typically are not playing at an elite level. And if he's saying he's a 1,000-yard receiver until he's the age of 37, that's kind of wild.
But sometimes that conversation feels like apples to oranges. But then again, I have to remind myself that it's football. And they all go through vigorous hits and plays and the way that they have to keep themselves in shape. However, if he feels that way, good for him. I mean, everybody's different, but that's the way that the apple falls for him in terms of where he's at in his entire career. I mean, he did miss 6 games last year. It's like how, you know, my car was out of commission for 6 months and I didn't drive it. And
well, he missed more than that because he was suspended 6 games for the PED suspension.
And then missed two more?
He sat out the last 2 games of the season with a quote-unquote injury, but right. I'm not claiming it as injury. I'm saying I don't want to play with Colt McCoy and Trace McSorley on a bum team that's going to be picking in the top three. That's basically what he said.
Wasn't it his ribs? Because I remember D-Hop was on fantasy football team. I think that the team I was playing against, the only reason I know this is because of that, surprisingly, but I think he was out because of his ribs were bruised or something stupid.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever. Listen, if you ever played football, that's what a flak jacket is for. Yeah. You know, they have those things that you can protect your ribs. I used to wear one because I remember I got a face mask to the rib one time in Little League, and I was like, yeah, I'm wearing a flak jacket for here on out. Sometimes that's only for quarterbacks, but, you know, for guys that have gotten hit in the ribs, I don't know. It was a self-conscious thing for me, so I always wore one. But regardless, what does this mean for the Tennessee Titans? And so when I saw this, I immediately thought, this is not good for the Titans.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeremy Fowler came out with a report this week that said the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans are still the front runners for DeAndre Hopkins, but that the Kansas City Chiefs are still in contact. And, you know, logic tells me that the Chiefs don't have money. And that they're trying to get money by extending Chris Jones, but, you know, usually extensions like that don't happen until training camp has already been kicked off and everybody's back in the building. And he's not, when he's not visibly working at practice and all the fans are there in attendance, and one of the best players in your team isn't playing, that's going to put some added pressure. So that's what Kansas City's waiting on. But here's what I gathered, and this is why I don't think this is a good sign for the Tennessee Titans. I'll retire from football when I'm a 1,000-yard receiver. I could be playing until I'm 37 the way that I'm feeling. And a lot of people have said that they think that he's looking for a multi-year deal rather than a one-year deal. And I think that there's a part of him that wants to get the money. Mm-hmm. And that there's also a part of him that wants to get some term on the contract.
Yeah.
And I think he also has a bit of him that wants to play for a contender. But right now there's no contenders that are willing to give him the money that the Titans and Patriots are. The way I see this is that he's basically using the Titans and Patriots as leverage in order to get somewhere else.
I think he has the entire time.
But here's what I think is ultimately going to happen, is that none of these guys are going to budge. And with the Titans, he's not going to sign term. And maybe he can play for a couple more years. Because as we have discussed on this show prior to this, that the way that DeAndre Hopkins plays the position, that he can last a little bit longer mm-hmm. with his skill set. Because he doesn't rely on his speed. He doesn't rely on his natural God-given athleticism. Mm-hmm. He's more or less very structured in his footwork, in his foot speed, and he's more of a timing and a physical presence at the wide receiver position and doesn't need a lot of separation to make plays.
Right.
And so for me, I think that he's kind of waiting out to see if Kansas City can get this done and
get the extension on Chris Jones. Because they have – you know, people in this town think the cap is fake, apparently. But not people.
There's one person that thinks that.
With the Chiefs currently sitting at about $1 million in cap space, thinking about it that way, it's like, why? But also, too, Mahomes could restructure his deal. They could have a couple other guys do that, too, if they so wanted to.
Well, that, and they can also, you know, signing bonuses don't count against the cap. So
right.
I'm sure they have money for a signing bonus for this guy. They don't have a lot of cap space for him. So restructuring a Mahomes deal, getting the extension done with Chris Jones, freeing up some cap space, that's going to give you more money not only on the extension aspect of it and the signing bonus, but also having some cap room just to give him some baseline dollars as well. It's gonna open up just money in general for the team to be able to do it. And I think basically what DeAndre is going to do is if he winds up signing with New England or the Tennessee Titans, he's only going to sign on a 1-year deal. Because if he genuinely thinks that he can play for years to come, and the market is telling him that they're not willing to give him the money that he wants right now, he would rather sign a 1-year deal with a team like Tennessee, like New England, that he doesn't see as real contenders in order to show the rest of the NFL, like, hey, I still got it.
So,
and then he's going to go out and look out for more term and more money and try and reset the market for himself, showing that he's still an elite 1,000-yard receiver this year.
Okay, so the part I do like a lot that you said there was setting the tone for what the market should be. That is a good point, because think about what OBJ made. And, you know, about a month or so ago, that's what we kept saying was, you know, he goes to the Ravens. He sets what the market's going to look like. Well, who would you rather have, D-Hop or OBJ? Well, I think it's very apparent for who we would rather have, but who signed the first deal? Well, OBJ signed that first deal.
Well, it's because DeAndre Hopkins was not yet released from the Arizona Cardinals. And also, part of the reason that Odell Beckham Jr. got the contract that he got from the Ravens was because of the whole Lamar Jackson negotiation aspect of this.
Sure.
And so, you know, it was more or less a move to please Lamar to say, hey, is this what you want? If this is what you want, then we're going to go all in and do it in order to get him to sign a more team-friendly deal than what he was actually going out to seek. So it's a different scenario for the Ravens and what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins, I genuinely think that he thinks that he can play a solid 3 or 4 more years at an elite high level.
No question.
And he doesn't want to do that for a team like the Patriots and the Titans. He just doesn't. Those are just the only teams that are willing to go out and give him the money in the range that he's looking for. And if he does do that, he will sign a 1-year deal, because he does not want to stay with a team like the Titans or the Patriots long term. He wants to go to a Kansas City. He wants to go to a Buffalo. But right now, those teams don't have the money and they don't have the wiggle room to go out and get him, because from what he showed the last couple years is, well, in 2021, he was injured and missed nearly half the season with an MCL tear. And then last year, he was dealing with suspension and sat out a couple games. And we don't know what kind of player is, because we haven't seen it in a couple years. And so that's why it makes me feel like he's holding out and trying to wait to see the best offer and would take less money and maybe some more term with the contender, whereas he would want more money and maybe only on a 1-year prove-it deal to reset his own market for the following season if he were to sign with a team like the Patriots or the Titans.
Yeah, I think so. And one perspective that I really liked was what Jim Wyatt did have to say the other day with Robbie and Rex Road. I think he was spot on with what I think would be good for the Titans if they did go get him. Because remember, too, in the two comps here that I'm doing for myself, because he's visited these two teams, is obviously the Patriots and the Titans. Well, the Patriots are at 11 in terms – I'm sorry, they're in 11th place for total just amount that they can use around the cap space. Titans are sitting a lot lower than that, albeit, like, I think this does matter. It doesn't really matter. You can restructure some deals, and, you know, the whole Kevin Byard thing and trying to figure out okay, can we maybe give him a pay cut, which we all know is detrimental
to
all of that. And yeah, it just looks so bad.
The only way the Titans could free up some more cap space, or realistically, would be a restructure to Harold Landry's deal. I don't necessarily know if they can restructure Jeff Simmons' deal just yet.
Well,
But again, the cap is maneuverable.
Yes.
You know, you can do a lot of things in the NFL. It's not as hard of a cap as it is in the NHL, where the numbers are, you know, really set in stone. Contracts are guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to get out of them. You know, like we saw, they had to buy out Duchesne. Now they're going to be paying on him to not play for this team for the next 6 years. In the NFL, it is a little bit different with, you know, not guaranteed contracts and being able to adjust and kick the can down the road. NFL cap is really, really weird.
Yeah.
And so when people say the cap is fake, I mean, if you're doing it from the premise of is a hard cap,
mm-hmm.
like if your definition of a cap is it has to be just like the NHL, where it is a hard cap and you can't maneuver it whatsoever, then yeah, but the cap still has implications on what you can do and how you can sign and when eventually you do have to pay down the road.
Right.
So it's just a little bit different. So the cap right now, you know, isn't as big of a concern for me, because I feel like both the Patriots and the Titans right now have enough wiggle room with the cap and with contracts that they have on the books that they can restructure in order to maneuver it. But right now, with the Titans and Patriots both being the favorites, I just feel like that DeAndre Hopkins is using them more or less as bait to really try and get to where he wants to go. Because if not, if he truly wanted to be here, you know, or in New England, at this moment in time, after meeting with both teams, I feel like he would have already made a decision. But training camp is a few weeks away, and we are going to, you know, wait and see. Wait and see where he winds up. But coming up next, we want to get into the Nicholas Petit-Frere, because, you know, I just keep looking at these first six games and how crucial it is. And you know, we also had a few people come on the station this week and talking about how the implications of the offensive line and as a cohesive unit will be impacted for the first six games. We're going to get into that and who the Titans will be facing in those first 6 weeks and how it could cause some problems for this team and this season. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
To kind of shuffle up the offensive line there in his absence.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. I mean, I think when the offseason started, really one thing you could count on was Nicholas Petit-Frere being your right tackle. Everything else, you know, what was happening at a lot of other positions were up in the air. You know, I think we all thought that Brewer would end up being a center, so that's three-fifths of your line or two-fifths of your line you felt good about, but you had question marks at three other positions. And, you know, some things appeared to settle in pretty nicely. You know, Brunskill comes in. I thought he was good. I thought, you know, certainly felt good about what I saw from Skoronski this offseason, you know, doing his job. You know, I felt like, you know, this team, with Dillard, you know, getting comfortable with Skoronski, I felt like they were going to be in pretty good shape on the offensive line. They just needed to gel and get used to playing together. Then, boom, you got a suspension and you potentially have to shuffle things up. I mean, I hate the thought of moving Brunskill. I hate the thought of moving Skoronski, because, you know, you're going to have to shuffle things back again. But ideally, you find somebody that you can count on at right tackle, plug them in, and then when Petit-Frere comes back, he takes his place and you just keep on going. But, you know, is Jalen Duncan, the rookie, up for that? Is Jamarco Jones, you know, a guy who's done it in the past, who has had injury problems since he's been here, can he do it? Those are big question marks. So I don't know exactly what they'll do. You know, people ask me about the potential of signing a veteran. Well, if you sign a veteran, he's on the roster week one, then his salary is guaranteed for the whole year. So,
yeah.
So that you can't ignore that part of it as well. So be curious to see what they do in camp. Another part of it is Petit-Frere gets to practice in camp and play in preseason games. So, I mean, and you want to get him, at least advance him somewhat. You can't give all his reps, you know, you don't want to give all the reps to him, but you got to at least give him some. So it's complicated things a lot, and not an ideal situation for a team that was already dealing with question marks there. You got to
know. That was Jim Wyatt on Nicholas Petit-Ferrer and the situation that puts on the Tennessee Titans offensive line when he joined Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. Junior Riddle, Nick Keezer. You can watch this live streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use promo code THEGAME today. Also, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game has the chance for you to win tickets to concerts and sporting events, plus the ultimate staycation that includes Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with the access to the water park sound waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game summer ticket tour. Stay tuned this week for more details. We'll be making announcements about that. That is definitely something that you want to be looking into. But back to the conversation about Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. And, you know, Jim Wyatt made a lot of good points there, Nick. And something about this just isn't setting right with me, because we know how crucial these first six games are for the Titans. You know, it's the hardest stretch of their schedule. I made a tweet, you know, a few weeks ago when this came down about the edge rushers that they're going to be facing. And some of those duos are just going to be really, really nasty. And, you know, we had Trevor Maddich on Stillman & Company yesterday with Caroline Fenton and I. And we asked him about this. And he was going in and talking about how taking a guy like Daniel Brunskill and moving him out to right tackle is a move that has been made in his career before. He has log snaps out there. But you're taking a guy out of his natural position and you're putting somebody else in. Instead of one hole, now you have two to where guys are out of place. And something that a lot of people don't realize about the offensive line in general is how much of a cohesive unit it is in general. You know, all five guys need to be, number one, comfortable with the guy that's to their left or to their right, and they also need to know the tendencies of each other. It's very much so not necessarily about individual pieces as it is how the cohesive unit in general gels together. And so when you move a guy like a Daniel Brunskill, if he is the guy that's going to move out to the right side, you know, that could cause more harm to the offensive line than necessarily just taking somebody and moving it. Because, you know, Daniel Brunskill was a backup at guard last year. Mm-hmm. So not only was he a backup last season as a guard, he would be moving to a position that he is not as comfortable with. And so I just think it's going to cause some trouble for the season open with those first six games for the Tennessee Titans going forward, with the offensive line already being such a pressing issue from last year.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there's merit to Jamarco Jones, Jalen Duncan, who, by the way, today is his birthday. I saw that from the Titans' Twitter, so happy birthday to Jalen.
Happy birthday, Jalen Duncan.
But look, I think some of these guys that are waiting for their chance, much like the Predators, there's been a lot of comps between the Predators and the Titans the last year, which has been good for me because I know how to talk more about it. But also, too, with the Titans, just looking at the depth of the team and the guys that are at least capable of playing pro football, are they going to be perfect? No. You can shame them for not playing up to a certain standard and everything. But also, too, this is just what they've put themselves in. And, I mean, now given the suspension for gambling is not something you put on yourself, and it's not from playing games, and it's not from training or anything like that, which is a shame and just in of itself. But Jalen Duncan, Jamarco Jones, and if they do sign someone off the street, maybe. It doesn't sound like that would be the popular thing, because Easton told us no.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they will either.
And I think if they were wanting to make the move, and again, this also kind of ties into the whole DeAndre Hopkins conversation, because they're still actively in communication with him, trying to get him and coerce him to become a Tennessee Titan, filling another hole on this roster. And so you don't want to go out and like sign a guy like a George Fan or maybe even an Eric Fisher, who predominantly plays left tackle, but you know you need somebody. So
sure,
for me, I'm looking at this like the Titans are more or less trying to look in-house because of the opportunity they have to sign DeAndre, and they don't want to mess up on that by signing somebody else.
No, they don't.
And so that kind of handcuffs the team in really doing what they want to do. But, you know, for this situation with Petit Frere, you know, and I've made this list a couple times with me on the Saturday show, but, I mean, it's just – the first six games, the edge rushers that they're going to be facing.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it's not even that, though. It's like even when Nicholas Petit-Frere comes back, his first two games are against the Atlanta Falcons and Pittsburgh Steelers.
Two good games for him.
And you're talking about Bud Dupree. If he's healthy, he's a pretty good edge rusher. He's now down there in Atlanta. They've really been doing a lot to build up their defense. But then that next game going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers with T.J. Watt, who's one of the best edge rushers in the game, who lines up against the right tackle. I mean, we're talking about, you know, not only the first six games without him and players out of place, but even when he gets back, it's going to be a rude awakening and be like, oh, I got to go up against some of the best edge rushers in the game in my first couple games back. And he's not even going to be in a groove with not even, you know, being able to practice in the first 6 weeks of the season.
Well, and at least he can practice before that all starts, which is good for him. But still, when you miss that much time and – you know, albeit he's going to go up against the Steelers and the Falcons the first two games when he comes back. But the 6 weeks, really, Junie, is almost – it kind of feels like an 8 to 9 because they're going to have to travel overseas. They'll come back and do their bye, obviously. But so you have to consider how much time off that he's going to have as well. The hope for him is, in Vrabel's eyes, he sees him ready to play. And – you know, in those two games back, maybe even the first game, this is way down the line, by the way, so this is the heat of the summertime for us. But when you're thinking about that far ahead already and you want to be prepared for it, the best thing that you can hope for as the coach is I need to ease him into these games and ease him into these situations. But if you ask me, I think I'm just going to call him Nick because I heard him called Nicholas and it caught my attention every single time this week because that's when I get in trouble or someone calls me out. But anyway, I think with him, I feel like he needs to show out as best as he possibly can here at camp and showcase why he does belong back in that spot when he is ready to return.
Here's the only issue with that, Nick, and I'll say this. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the segment, an offensive line has to be a true cohesive unit.
Right.
And so are you going to take away reps from the guy that's going to be playing in those first 6 weeks?
That's the part
when
that sucks.
This is such a gelling, get-together. You know, offensive linemen do everything together. I mean, they go to each other's houses on the weekends. They're doing barbecues together. They're doing events. Everywhere you see one offensive lineman, you're going to see a couple other because they're always trying to stick together because it is the most important position group that has to be so tightly knitted on an NFL team.
Right.
And so it's just like, are you going to take away from reps for guys for that first stretch, that first third of the season, just to get him in to be ready for when he does come back? Or do you tell him like, oh, you know, you're going to kind of get some back-end reps and then he's not going to be as prepared when he does come back? So ultimately the Titans have a really big decision make when it comes to divvying up and giving practice reps to those who deserve it. Because again, once the season kicks off, he can practice in training camp and play in the preseason and do all those things. But again, you're taking reps away from a guy that could be in there. So it's a give and take. Do you want the guy that's going to play the first 6 weeks to be ready to open the season, or do you want Petit Frere to get those reps to be ready for when he comes back after their bye week, after the first six games?
So right.
It's going to be something we're going to be talking about, you know, all offseason.
I think for sure. And the other thing, too, is now thinking the grand scheme of things with that point is how much off-field – activity is he going to have with those guys then? Because, you know, not to say to use this in his advantage just for the sake of playing, but more or less for the sake of being part of the team still. You want to make sure he's doing the things with these guys, whether it's on the weekends prior to a game or during the week, training with them in the gym maybe, or just anything else. It always feels good knowing that you can have someone to lean on. And so maybe for him, he can help walk through with these guys and say, hey, like, let's prepare for this just like we were, even if I was here. And that's for his sake more so. But that is something to think about that you said, going to barbecues or, like I said, being in the gym or just being around the guys doing things. that's going to make the biggest difference for him, especially when those trench battles do come back up for him after his suspension.
It is going to be a long offseason of talking about how this is going to play out, because the offensive line was already a concern for a lot of us, and now this is just an even deeper concern with what they are going to ultimately decide to do. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We want you, the listener, to tune in to this next segment, because this is something that has been on my mind for a while, and I think that it really irks some of the Tennessee Titans fans. Where does Nashville rank in importance as an NFL market right now, today, this season, with how the league is currently constructed? We are going to look at why the national media always overlooks the Tennessee Titans, and we want to get your feedback again. 615-737-1025. We're going to get into that next. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 1025 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in for the Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Columbus Clippers, AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. The Sounds wrap up their series against the Clippers tomorrow at 1:05 at First Horizon Park. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Been a crazy week of series in these games against the Columbus Clippers for the Nashville Sounds. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there was a brawl a couple nights ago. There was a pop fly in a 15-14
run
in the bottom of the ninth. Then they got routed like 19-2.
The Nashville Sounds
press game had some fun with after that. So like it's been a lot of. A lot of headlines going around the Nashville Sounds this week. I just kind of find that interesting.
Well, and two, I thought this was intriguing for me, just on the fact of what they liked to wear sometimes. So I don't know if you caught this. Their uniforms yesterday, it was something that they introduced at the start of the season. They're known sometimes as the Nashville Hot Chickens. So yesterday, their hat and their uniform, the logo, is literally a chicken sandwich. So I don't know if they're butchering their own mascot when you think about that, but I think Booster would not be a huge fan of being the hot chicken sandwiches.
I think that would kind of contradict what Booster
is. But he's a hot chicken.
He is a hot chicken. Like, there is that.
There are hot chickens and then there's hot chicken.
Well, another team that could be the hot chickens in terms of maybe a sandwich, because the Sounds literally just, you know, they chewed up and spit them out, was the Memphis Redbirds.
That's a bird, not chicken, Nick. Come on, dude. Well, you should know that. This is third grade, dude. You should know what a bird is.
Why would you bring up anything Memphis when we have David James on? You know those are trigger words for him.
Yes, for sure. I always have to throw something out, because every time that I learned sounds
go
with
birds.
David, yes. I heard that.
Back to the NFL conversation we were having. We teased it before the break. Where does Nashville lie on the rankings of importance currently in the NFL? And I'm kind of going through and looking at all of the different cities and all the different teams in the state of the teams currently. And I kind of have the Tennessee Titans ranked at 27th. Hmm. And the only teams that I have behind them are the Colts, Texans, Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
Falcons, Bucks, and... That is honestly it.
Yeah.
That is honestly it. And it's not I'm not talking about team rankings. I'm talking about the way the national media covers the Tennessee Titans. It always seems like they're left on the back burner. All the time. They're always overlooked. They're never talked about. And you always have to think, like, you know, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Steelers, the Packers, the Cowboys. Those are like the big five teams that, like, historically are winners and are, like, you know, they have the biggest, largest fan bases. So obviously those.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the teams with the young, high octane quarterbacks. You know, you're talking about the Bengals, the Bills, you know, teams like that. I mean, even the Bears right now.
Okay, so.
And it just seems like it seems like Nashville is always just left in the dust, left behind, never talked about. Always overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they have solid teams like they've had for the last couple of years, people are still reluctant on the national scale to talk about Nashville and the Tennessee
Titans. So the Titans are ranked at 27 there, right?
On my personal rankings how I view it and how the national media covers
yes.
all the other teams. I would say the only teams that are getting left out more than the Titans right now
mm-hmm.
would be the Colts, the Texans,
uh-huh.
the Buccaneers, the Cardinals. And really, that's about, I mean, maybe the Vikings.
I don't disagree with you. Okay, so
it's just because, like, right now everybody has either a quarterback or a coach or somebody yes. that the national media is flocking towards.
Yeah. Well, what I want to get to really quickly is the comparison to 2022 going into that season, and what I'm looking at is the ESPN NFL Power Rankings 2022 preseason 1-32 poll. So. That's what I'm taking a look at. It was published in August
last year. But is that because of the teams, or is that because of, again?
This is after the draft, and then right before, I'm assuming this is right before preseason started.
Okay, go
ahead. So this is where some teams ranked. Obviously, one team that is near the top that is really low, and especially lower with your ranking, they have the Bucs at 2 there. But obviously, that was Tom Brady was still there. The Rams were 3. Another interesting one to me was that the Ravens and the Chargers, you got 8 and 9 mm-hmm. there. Chargers at 8, Ravens at 9.
Herbert and Lamar, both high-octane quarterbacks.
At the time, that was respectable. Then the Titans were at 11 in 2022. And the guy that was on the hot seat was Ryan Tannehill. And I think you could still put him.
That was coming off the Bengals game.
Right. It had, you know, it says Tannehill's 14 interceptions last year were more than 13 combined picks that he threw in 19 and 20. But look, we know how it looked last year. It's over now. But I wanted to go back to that on purpose because obviously things fluctuate. But right behind the Titans, too, was also the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how dismal their season was.
Russell Wilson in the whole trade on that. We want to get your opinion on 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to go to the phones right now to Ray in Clarksville. He wants to comment on this topic right now. Where does Nashville rank according to the national media? Ray, go ahead.
In my opinion, I don't know if you're talking about the last 5 years, but I think in the last 15 years of the franchise, they really have not had a lot of popularity when it comes to being mentioned when they have good winning seasons. And all the teams go ahead of them. And the Broncos, actually, I just heard a comment on it being after us. I also believe that they had Peyton Manning there for a little while.
Yes, they
did. Back in those days, we really didn't get the attention we deserved. I think the Titans, being the former Houston Oilers, should have a better, more presence when it comes to news, when it comes to winning seasons and stuff like that, and mention a little bit more on the media, not the local media like you guys do on the news locally, but nationally. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to y'all's comments.
Ray, appreciate the call. I guess I just want to know why. And I want to know why, because Nashville is just such an up-and-coming city.
Yeah, it's still a small town. Small market. That's small market.
I mean, Green Bay is still getting covered on NFL Live every single day. And there's really and I get that. But I don't necessarily think it is such a small market. I mean, like I said, like Buffalo is up there because of the quarterback. You know, Kansas City, they're, you know, obviously they have Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders are in Vegas now. They're going to get a lot of light. The Chargers are out in L.A., and they got a young, sparkly quarterback in Justin Herbert. So it's just, to me, is it just lack of quarterback and lack of young, promising players? Because, you know, I just think that with Nashville, as much as it's grown, the way that they just knocked the ball out of the park with the draft having double in attendance than any other city.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel, and the amount of success that they've had over the last 5 years, I just figured that they would be higher in the pecking order of importance according to the national media.
Sure. Well, also, too, to the caller's point, I think he brings up a really solid timeline, too. 10, 15 years, let's think about the quarterbacks that have been here. And I'm going to go most recently, so not over the complete last 10 years. But really, I guess it is pretty close. So you got Jake Locker, Mariota, And then you also have got a couple other guys that have come in and played at times, like a Ryan Tannehill. I'll even throw in a Josh Dobbs because, look, he played for Tennessee, and that's a storyline for this area. But, look, I want to say that there have been a plentiful amount of opportunities for them to thrive. And, look, that's just quarterbacks. We've had tons of talent come through here. And just like any other team, and on any given Sunday, it's about execution. It's about what you can do to be a team that can explode and be an attractive market, not just because of where you are, but also because of how your team is playing. Yes, I mean, yes, the I blanked for half a second. The Packers, you know, they are a historical franchise. I think they always are going to get that sort of recognition. And then you also even take a look at maybe even the Colts, just to keep it in the AFC South, is they get a lot of attention based on how good they've been in the last 20 years probably. And also, too, another smaller market team that I think gets a lot of attention that maybe doesn't deserve it as often is Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's got...
Cleveland gets a lot of attention.
And it's mainly because of who plays there. Yeah. And so you have to think about stuff like that. You have to think about, you know, big contracts, bigger names in the entire league. Look how much we've talked about D-Hop the last couple of months.
Yeah.
There's just that as well.
I guess for me, you know, seeing the Titans go to the AFC Championship in 2019, having a really awesome year in 2020 where... You know, they had a top three offense in the entire NFL, being the number one seed in 2021. Just all those years, they were always overlooked. They were called, the most overrated number one seed in NFL history when they won it. Nobody gave them a chance to make the AFC title game back in 2019. And I don't know. I just feel like as well as this city has put on for the Titans and for the NFL in general, I just think a little bit more respect and a little bit more recognition from the national media and from those outlets is more deserving. So we're going to kind of continue this conversation to wrap the show up. We got a few callers on the line. Stay on the line. We will get to you next. But we're going to wrap things up on our last segment of the first edition of Riddle and Reporter. Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, the first ever edition of Riddle and the Reporter after we selected our name. Announced that on Stillman & Company earlier this week when everybody was out for 4th of July. So, great first show so far, Nick.
You know, absolutely.
We're going to wrap it up here, continuing talking about how the Nashville market is seen compared to other NFL markets currently in the NFL. We got Kenny the Mailman on the line. Kenny, how are we doing this morning for one? And number two, what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I'm doing great. Good morning to you. I will be tuning in. I work every Saturday, so y'all are going to become my constant companions. Get ready.
Oh, we appreciate that, Kenny. Thank you. Call in anytime.
Absolutely.
And you know what? This is a tremendous topic because it comes up probably about every other day at work. The respect, this and that, what time the games are on, everything. And I look at them. And I say, y'all sound like Rodney Dangerfield. We get no respect. It does not matter. It does not matter at all. This is not like you vote on the rankings and you're ranked. In this market, we get to watch them every week. We follow our teams. You listen to the local media, they know. The national media is a lot of hot air. They'll have announcers on that say stuff like, this team wants to score on this drive. Well, yeah. But they don't give you the in-depth analysis that you're going to get from your announcer. So I tell everybody, take a step back and take a deep breath. It does not matter what other people think. It's the wins and losses that matter. All my best to y'all.
Kenny, great call. We appreciate you calling, as always. Kenny always has some great takes.
Yes, he does.
He calls in, and I'm going to give it a little nickname to Kenny the Mailman, Voice of Reason. He comes in here and says, who cares what those national media boo-hoos are coming out here saying on the Tennessee Titans? Yeah. All that matters is that we got local coverage here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, and also, you know, wins and losses. It only matters if they win or lose. I guess it's just, I don't know. I you know, growing up in Louisville, you know, Nashville was always a good three-hour rock skip away, so, you know, driving through here was something that we always did. And I had family that lived down here. And, you know, back then, you know, I always saw the Titans as a small market team, you know, not a franchise that doesn't have a ton of history, just as the Titans, not necessarily included with the Oilers' history, but just as the Titans, they didn't have a ton of history. But now that, you know, the Titans have been around for, right, 25, 26 years?
Yeah, over 26, yeah.
And so, looking at that, I just feel like the way the city has grown and what they've done, and especially with the draft. I mean, I was at the draft. I don't know if you were there, but it was awesome. Like, it was truly a spectacle out on Broadway
I was not at it. I was around it. I got to experience some things with it. Obviously, I was a lot more in tune with all the NHL coverage, but that's just because of where my niche is for the kind of work I do. But also, too, with the NFL draft here, I mean, just about every single one of my friends came down to Nashville at some point during that time, during that week. And I had friends that stood out in the rain and waited for draft picks just to come in and everything. And, you know, I think, too, just the amount of attention that Nashville has gotten in the last 10 years, I think it's been huge. Now, think about, you know, we're the racing station. You know, NASCAR is growing here in Nashville. The Sounds are playing here. We have an affiliation with Vanderbilt now. And the Predators are playing, and the Titans have been thriving somewhat, I would say, in the last couple of seasons too. They're slowly rising that rank again, but it's still a teetering scale, I would say. But at times, you know, I think Kenny makes a very fair point saying, like, look, it's a lot of hot air sometimes. And it is. It absolutely is. And I like sometimes when you see stuff come up on SportsCenter or even on ESPN for topics with certain players. You want those things sometimes, but you also want to limit yourself to, I'm focused on myself. I'm focused on what development we need as a franchise. And I feel like that Amy Adams Strunk has sort of done that with the Titans as best as she possibly can after taking over for her dad. And I feel like, too, that that's how a lot of the Preds ownership has viewed the last couple of years, too. Look, the Titans had a good postseason run a few years ago. The Predators have gone to the second round multiple times in the last 10 years. And so this market has developed into a big one, relatively, I would say. And it's a good thing. You are drawing in more and more attention locally, and it's becoming stronger. There are more products coming out here. I mean, hell, the Titans drafted a kid out of Lebanon, Tennessee that went and played college football locally. And so for me, that was huge, seeing some local guys get some attention pro-wise playing. But also, too, we have solid media members that I feel like do a good job with bringing a lot of, I don't want to say unwanted attention, but they look through the cracks of things where people don't look at some storylines.
Well, I see it this way. And, you know, I guess especially when you look at everybody at our station, you know, people are saying the Titans are a double-digit win team this year, and I disagree with that. I just think that there's too many holes on the roster, and there's a lot more that this team, I feel, could have done to be a bit more competitive. And even still, knowing they have Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry is still Derrick Henry until proven otherwise, and knowing they have Mike Vrabel being a coach that can do a lot more with less, I just felt a little bit slighted as someone who covers the team locally when I hear guys in the national media thinking that the Titans are going to, you know, be in contention for the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Because I just, I feel like this team deserves the respect that it's earned over the last couple years and the identity of this team and where this franchise has come since being under Amy Adams. And I like that you brought that up because, you know, the difference in ownership plays a part in this as well. I feel like since Amy Adams Strunk has taken over as the owner from her father, that this has become more of a first-class organization.
Absolutely.
And has been run a lot more smoothly. And with all of these intangibles, with the coach, having a star player like Derrick Henry, having more proficient and better ownership, I just felt with all encompassing that the Titans would get just a little bit more respect, and maybe, you know, the narratives going about around the team would be a bit more accurate rather than us taking clips from ESPN, from Fox Sports, from other national outlets and having to debunk them to the fans and to our listeners saying, okay, these guys just simply aren't informed.
Right, and that's the best part to it sometimes, I feel like. So it's good to see the growth. It's good to see the growth more specifically with some of these bigger teams in Nashville. And also, too, like we've grown a lot since the Predators came to town. You've got more interest in having Major League Baseball here. You've also got more interest for even NBA basketball. At some point in time, there's not as much traction with that. However, the arena originally was built for NBA basketball here in Nashville. So you do have to recall a couple of different things. I know David's shaking his head back there because obviously Memphis has their team. But also, too, you know, had that not happened, Nashville, if they never had that hockey pursuit, we could be an NBA city. But also, too, the growth is amazing. I've been very happy that hockey has more or less changed the landscape of my life, but also others as well. And so not only is it hockey, it's football, it's baseball, it's a lot of other things too, and a lot of colleges too. They have grown significantly in this area too because of it.
Nashville is growing every single day, and maybe with the new stadium and the new generation of Titans coming up can bring some more proper awareness to
the team. No question.
But first episode of Riddle and the Reporter, officially, we are going to have the music, we're going to have the sound to go along with it coming up next week. It's going to be Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser every Saturday from 9 to 11 here on out. That is all the time that we have today. Thank you for tuning in with us. This, again, has been Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.